here, Koto. How you doing? Katsu pie is always a good one, eh? Pie, good. I'm good. Katsu ora, I'm well. It's all good, eh? Habla espanol? Any habla espanol this morning? No? I've deserted us. Oh, buenos dias. Como te va? Always muy bien. Always muy bien. Yeah. Maybe, oh, I said I'm muy emocionado. Yeah? Excited. Yeah? Ke te hare koa ho. I'm happy, excited to be in church, man. All good. Okay. Enough of me pretending I can actually speak foreign languages, right? Hey, this is what we're talking about, markers of maturity. So as you, if you're here last Sunday, we're doing an eight-week series that I'm pretty excited about, which is looking at different aspects of spiritual growth, right? Different aspects of spiritual growth. And one of the dangerous things when we look at this is that we can all turn into Jesus' box-ticking nerds, right? So who loves lists? Anyone just a list nerd? Tina, you are like a list nerd off the planet, amen? Sorry, do the hands again, list nerds? Man, may Jesus bless us all, right? I'm just a list freak, man. If I don't have a list, I'll be saying to the family, I'm cooking pizza tonight, and I pull out a piece of paper, let's list down, what are we having, ticking them off, I just love it, right? And sometimes we can take that into our relationship. You guys do the same thing, don't nerd out on me. We're all weird together. And we can take the same thing into our relationship with Jesus, right? And we can turn our relationship with Jesus into like a list checkbox. Did I go to church this week? Yep, I'm all good. Did I read my Bible? Yep, I'm all good. And instead of our relationship with Jesus being a relationship and hanging out with him and a growing in who we are in Christ, it can just totally default to ticking boxes. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Yeah. Okay, let's try that again because I felt zero love from you all. Does it make sense? Sure. See, Mike is a good, I need to stare at Mike. He's such an interactive guy. Hey, so this is kind of the core of what I'm talking about this morning. I'm just kind of introducing the series. So it's this here. Spiritual maturity is growth, not achievement, right? Spiritual maturity is growth, not achievement. Jesus is not so concerned about what I do. He loves what I do. He loves that I do stuff, but he's not so concerned about that. He's more concerned about my growth, my development with him, right? So spiritual maturity is growth. So I know some of you enjoy this next bit, some of you hate it, but I've got the microphone, which for some weird reason gives me all power for like the next 30 minutes. So Etu, let's all stand up. Etu, stand up. It's all good to have a bit of participation, eh? So spiritual maturity is growth. Spiritual maturity is growth. So go and find 5, 7 people. You can high-five them if they're a bit elderly. Maybe just hug them. Go and find 5 people. High-five. Spiritual maturity is growth. Spiritual maturity is growth. Cool. Alrighty. E noho. Have a seat, eh? Next level spiritual. Ben high-fiving himself. So keen. That's good. Well, it makes sense, right? Why wouldn't you tell yourself, come on, Craig, spiritual maturity is growth, not achievement. That's like awesome, bro. All right. Hey, let me, I want to really illustrate this because I think it's dangerous to move into the series where we're talking about living a life of generosity is a sign of growth, and prayer and worship and digging into the word are signs of growth. And it's dangerous to start that with some of us being tick box people because we turn that into just achievement things. Am I doing these? Yes, I'm good. And it's like, it doesn't work like that. God wants spiritual growth, not achievement, right? That makes sense. So let me illustrate it in a silly way with two of my good friends. So I have two good friends. One of them is been a Christian like ever since he popped out, basically, like super nerd Christian parents, grew up, Christian family, all that good stuff, church. Didn't really rebel like some people do, was just pretty legit his whole life. So that's the first guy. And then my other friend grew up with a terrible upbringing. He's one of those guys that when he tells you about his early years, you're just like, shut up. How did you survive? How were you alive? It's just horrible, right? Bad, like just bad stuff, right? Real bad stuff. Kind of a bit of Jesus action going on when he was little, but nothing to write home about, right? Nothing amazing. But when he was in his kind of early mid-40s, really found Jesus, just transformed his life, right? Completely changed him. And now he's just growing like a Jesus nerd weed, right? Now, if we were comparing achievements, it just gets loony, okay? So this guy was the worship pastor, my first friend. He was a worship pastor in one of the biggest churches in New Zealand for like 7 years down in Wellington, and wrote songs and put out albums and people became Christians and the whole crazy, you know, achievement. You could be ticking boxes. And now he's the worship pastor over in a mega church over in the state. So they got 10, 12,000 people on Sunday morning. They have multiple campuses. And his job, he's the worship pastor of the worship pastors, right? So he's at their central offices. And his whole job is to because each campus has its own full-time worship pastor, of course, and half the worship team in each campus is employed too, but it's crazy church stuff. So it's his job to be working with the worship pastors to build them up and now leading the whole church to be writing songs and albums and all this kind of crazy stuff. So if you stood back and thought, oh, your spiritual maturity is achievement, it's what have I done for Jesus? This guy's like, there's a park and he is kicking it out of the park, right? You know the expression? Shot team, love, feeling the love, thank you. I was freaking out for a minute there. My other friend, man, he had nothing until he was like, I don't know, mid-40s, right? There was just zero achievement. And now he's growing like a weed, but if you looked at achievement, what's he ticking and stuff, it would be real small, right? But he's growing like crazy. And him and I are friends, we talk all the time, but we're friends on YouVersion, you know, the app on your phone. The amount of Bible this guy reads in a day is just loony. It just blows me away. I'm like, do you like not even have a job? You just literally read your Bible all day? And I was actually talking to him a couple of months ago about it. And I said, bro, I just cannot believe how much Bible you read in a day. And then he just like slapped me in love. And he goes, bro, Jesus is everything to me, man. He goes, I don't know if I'd be alive. I certainly wouldn't be in a healthy place that I am now if it wasn't for Jesus. And he said, the way I get Jesus in me and I get into Jesus is through the Word of God. And if I told you some of the stuff that's happened to him recently, you'd be like, what the heck? Do you see what I mean, eh? Achievement-wise, he's doing some cool stuff. But if you looked at spiritual maturity and said it's achievement, you'd be like, this guy, gold stars on the wall, right? I know as soon as I said that, some of you were like, oh, gold stars. This guy, you look at achievement, you're like, I don't know, you know, this stuff. But when you realize that God's like, he's into what we do. But for God, the core of our relationship with God is spiritual maturity, is growth, right? It's growth. Am I growing? Am I more hungry for the word than I was 6 months ago? Am I more enjoying church and community than I was 6 months ago? Am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? Yeah, he loves the stuff we do. But the core of it is the spiritual growth, right? It makes sense, eh? Makes sense. As we go into the series and as we go through each of these little topics, Bible, prayer, worship, and stuff, you've got to keep holding on to it. And we're going to keep saying this, holding on to it. Am I growing in this? Not have I done it. Tick. Yes. I spent 2 hours every morning praying. Therefore, I am amazing. You know, tick. So what? That's insane, right? So it's not achievement, right? It's always... It's always growth. Am I changing? Am I becoming more like Jesus? Jesus doesn't care so much about our achievements, but about how much we're growing, right? He doesn't care so much about our achievements. He cares, but not so much. It's about our growing. So, and there's two reasons for why to compare yourself with someone or to think it's all about achievements shows that it's completely nutty, right? So here's just two little reasons. The first one is that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve God, right? Does it make sense? Are you with me? Yep. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve God. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us gifts and therefore and then empowers us to work out those gifts, right? So Nick's up here worship leading. Awesome worship this morning, Nick. Thanks so much. We look at and we go, wow, look at Nick. We could say achieving, tick, doing a good job, right? But we miss that it's Nick being empowered at this time by Almighty God, by Wairua Tapu, and dwelling inside him, empowering him, blah, 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 right? So because it's the Spirit that gives gifts and he gives different gifts to everyone, it would be stupid to compare myself with someone else and talk about achievement. Because I'd be like, well, is Dave more spiritual than me? Look at what Dave's doing, because that's all I can see. I can't see his heart. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit is empowering and gifting him to do. You don't know what the Holy Spirit's empowering and gifting me to do. Does it make sense, eh? So to compare and be like, well, you know, Tom, look at what Tom's doing for Jesus. You know, and look at what Dave, what am I doing? It's like, it's not about achievement, because it doesn't work, because Holy Spirit's empowering Tom to like do amazing stuff with you through Word of Life. He's empowering Dave, he's empowering Becky. It's all different. So you can't compare. So you can't do the achievement thing because we're all, does that make sense, eh? Okay, so the other big thing is you have no idea what I'm wrestling with in my life. You have no idea. So you can't compare yourself with me. I have no idea what the heck is going on with you and your heart, your soul, right? I don't know your journey. I could get to know you a bit and hear what you wanted to tell me. But I wouldn't really know what's happened to you. I wouldn't really know what's going on in your soul, the wrestles that you have over sin that gets you, the wrestles that you have to grow deeper in Jesus. I don't see that. You can't see that with me. So again, to think it's about achievement and to compare is just loony. One, because heaps of what we do is empowered by the Spirit, so it's up to him. And then two, so often spiritual growth is just so deeply internal, right? So deeply internal. So you just can't compare We can't take it to this kind of achievement place, right? Makes sense. Let's look at these verses First Corinthians 12. You guys know these verses pretty well. So if you go to Bible, jump over there. Got a device, click over there or swipe over there or... If I say Siri, all our phones will go. How can I help you? And then we'll all freak out. Let's not do that. I'm reading these verses because, again, I just want us to really get it in our brains that to compare ourselves with each other, to do achievement-based stuff is just loony because it doesn't work like that. So this is 1 Corinthians 12. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but it would take too long and I'd get in trouble with Dave. He's pretty scary. He's scary, man. Okay, starting in verse 7, and you see it straight away. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's the whole point in spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts aren't just for our own benefit. There's always joy, fulfillment when we serve God with how he's gifted us. But the primary reason for having a gift is to bless the whole church, right? To bless the church, that's why we have it, right? And it's different for everyone. And then he explains a whole bunch. And I'm just reading this so you can see it's so diverse. To compare yourself with someone would be stupid. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. That's what I pray for all the time. I'm just not a wise person. I'm a wise guy at times, but I'm not a wise person. And I'm always going, come on, God, can't you make me wiser? I just feel dumb half the time. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have, right? So there's so much diversity from the Spirit. You just can't compare yourself, right? And you can't break it down to this kind of achievement thing because it's just weird. It's just not how we roll because we're indwelt by God. A real easy illustration of this to me is to me to compare myself with Dave, right? We all know that I'm way more spiritual than Dave. Amen? Oh. No. Dave, get out, bro. Now, I'm pretty hurt by you all right now, so it's good. And I was thinking about visuals, right? Like, Dave is really good at doing these visuals. So the slides you see behind our, like, groovy little series, that's something Dave pulls together. If I did it, it would just be hilarious. Because I'd be like, yeah, looks good enough for me. Good to go, and then we would die. Dave is really gifted and called to this and does an amazing job. Even to the point, are you sitting down? Thanks, Laura. Loving the response. Sorry. Even to the point that we have a series font. Is that life-changing? So you probably haven't noticed. Some of you might have, but every series, there's a different font. And Dave literally like looks at different fonts, looks at what we're talking about, and he goes, this is the font. So this font we have today is called like Libra something crazy. Whatever it is. And it's like Dave's thought of, what's that? It is a mature, oh, come on, a mature font. So good shot, Dave. And so Dave thought, now if I did it, it would just be, I'd be like, I don't know, Arial, Calibri, I don't give a rip. I'm like, font, I don't know, I don't see it. But Dave sees it, right? Why? Because that's how God created him. When the Trinity created Dave, they literally created Dave. When the Trinity created Dave, that's a calling, an ability they gave him. And then the Holy Spirit now empowers that here in the church, like we were reading, right? But the Holy Spirit, for some reason, and the Trinity totally didn't give me visual skills, right? So if I was doing these, you'd all be like, I can't even see it. What's that clown got up on the screen? What's those stupid pictures? Blah, you know? It's because that's not how the Spirit has gifted and called me. So again, to compare us in terms of spirituality would be stupid because, again, we all know that I'm much more spiritual than Dave. Amen? Oh, still nothing. Dang. No, it's good, eh? It's like this, right? Which is better, an apple or an orange? It's like... You can't compare them, right? Which is better, a chicken or a frog? So you can't compare. It doesn't matter. As long as they're doing what they were created to do, as long as the frog is frogging, you know, you're like, go frog. Then it's like, that's awesome. As long as the chicken is popping out eggs and being a great chicken, you're like, that's cool. It's doing what it was created to do. Does it make sense, eh? So here's the last one, though. Which is better, a hedgehog or a Holden? And we all know that Holdens are better than anything, so that just wins. Not... I got the microphone, so I'm right in all things, right? Yeah, they've stopped making them. I'm in mourning. Sad. So all I'm saying is that we can't compare ourselves with someone, but we do. That's the mistake we make. And often we make the mistake of comparing ourselves with people that have a little bit more of a public gifting than we might have. Like some of you have, there's some of you in here I know, have the gift of helps, and you are stealth helpers. You're stealth helpers, but the way you bless and care and pray and do stuff, I'm like, man, you're amazing. But no one knows that, right? And if we were comparing spiritual ability between so-and-so and you, no one knows. Do you know what I mean? So we can't compare. We can't break spiritual maturity down to this just achievement kind of thing, right? So here's a little quote. When it comes to determining spiritual maturity, we look at indicators in terms of growth, not of achievement. Each Christian is at a different stage of their walk with Christ, and the desire is for there to be forward movement, not perfection in every way. I'll just read that last bit again. Each Christian is at a different stage of their walk with Christ, and the desire is for there to be forward momentum, not perfection in every way. It's like I was saying before. All we want to see is that we are becoming more like Jesus, right? We want to see that we are growing, that I am enjoying the Bible more than I was 6 months ago, more than I was a year ago. I am loving coming to church, even though you guys are super weird. I'm loving coming to church more than I was before because the Spirit's drawing, growing, changing me, right? So that's kind of the core of it. I love that, forward momentum, not perfection. It's not what we're after. One of the other dangers in looking at a series on like maturity and having these markers is that if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, then you try and do this stuff and it just doesn't work because you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you, right? So one of the things I wanted to just pause and do is to remind you what it means to be in a relationship with God, right? It's kind of a weird thing when you think about it, to think that us humans could actually connect with God who is spirit and who is eternal and who is outside time and is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, right? He's all these big, giant words. To think that this incredible creator being could connect with us crazy humans is kind of ludicrous, which is why we have Jesus come on the scene, right? And so Jesus comes on the scene and he's fully human and he's fully God, so that he's the bridge. He's the one that connects us with God, right? Jesus lives like a normal person. He gets tired, he gets hungry, experiences dad dying, has friends desert him, has heaps of parties, has lots of good friends. He totally gets what it's like to be human because he lives fully as a human. He doesn't cheat and kind of just secretly play divine cards when he's, you know, like hungry and he's like, well, just zap things. Oh, thank you, pizza, you know, whatever. He doesn't cheat. He's fully human. But at the same time, he's fully God. And he can walk on water. He can raise people from the dead. He can know what people are thinking without having to hear them speak, right? He's God. So he's this perfect bridge between us and God. And one of the things as we get into this maturity series is that unless we've moved into that relationship with God, unless we've asked Jesus to come and change us, then it will never work, right? Church will never be as exciting as it can be. Reading the Bible will be kind of like, Worship will be like, it's all good. But when we change, when we ask God to come and change us, right, then everything changes. And to me, there's two big things that change. The first one is we receive blessing and protection and guidance and glory from God himself because God comes to live within us, right? And so if you're here at church and maybe you've been coming for a while, maybe you're just new, but you're like, man, I don't know what you're saying, bro. What does that mean, God within me? What does that mean that God blesses me and guides me and directs me and protects me? I don't know if I have that. Then I'm going to pray in a minute and I'd say to you, you need to pray with me, right? Or you need to come and talk to me afterwards or talk to someone in the church that you know that's tight with Jesus and go, I don't get that. I don't experience blessing from God. I don't experience guidance from God. I don't think I get protection from God. What is that? I'm missing a whole component of what it apparently means to be in a relationship with God, right? And so if you don't have that and then you try and do these maturity things, it's not going to work because you don't have God living within you, right? So one thing that happens when you become a Christian, one thing that happens when you move into a relationship with God is blessing, guidance, protection happens in your life. Vibrancy happens in your life. Fullness of life happens to you, right? And the other thing that we talk about in church all the time is that our evil, our shame, our guilt, our crap is removed from us, right? All of us do bad stuff, all of us. Some of you better than others, but we won't talk about that, right? We all do bad stuff, right? We all know it. We all like live with a little sense of shame sometimes, a little sense of guilt over things we've done. And one of the things I love is that when you move into this relationship with God, one, he brings blessing and guidance and protection into your life. But the other thing is that he removes all that sin and that evil and that bad stuff to create a way for you to connect with God and hear from God and be blessed from God, right? Does it make sense, eh? There's two things. So I'm going to pray in a second, but I just want, as I do, I just want to pause for a second and be like, are you feeling the presence of God at times? Do you know that God is working in you and he's guiding you and protecting you, blessing you? Is the Bible becoming more and more exciting to you as you read it? Church is better and better, community. Sometimes in worship, you just feel like going, oh, stop. Woo-hoo-hoo. Man, the presence of God is so heavy. Oh, this is just awesome. If you're not feeling that, then there's something wrong in your relationship with Jesus, right? Because that's what he says it should be like. That's what the Bible talks about. So if that's not true for you, then there's something wrong. And a danger that we have in our churches now is we can just kind of start coming to church one day, and then we just do church. I know why I'm dancing. We do church for a while. We do church for a while, but we've never actually stopped and gone, okay, God, we need to sort this. I need you to be the boss of my life. I need you to come and dwell inside me and guide, protect, all that, but I need you to get rid of my sin and my guilt, my shame. You've got to sort that because that separates me from you. I can't hear you. You can't connect with me when I've got that in the road, right? So you might be going to a life group. You might be involved in doing stuff in the church, but if you're like, there's always something missing, then I'm going to pray, and I'd encourage you to just pray along with me, right? I would hate to move into this series giving you a false sense of security in Christ. So that's why I took a bit of time. So let me pray. So if you're like sitting there and you're like, man, I don't know. One, I'd say you need to talk to someone afterwards, right? Come and talk to me, someone in the church you know who's tight with Jesus, one of the elders, staff. Yeah, or pray this along with me, but then come and talk to someone afterwards, right? So just say this in your mind, right? God can read your mind, so you don't have to say it out loud or anything crazy. So just kind of echo this along with me, right? Yeah, Almighty God, I don't understand everything about this whole Christianity, but I know that I need you in my life. I know I need more of you in my life. I want to have a sense of vibrancy in my life. I want to have a sense of blessing and guidance and protection and clarity from you, God. And I need you to remove my sin. I know I do evil. I know I mess up. I want that to be gone. I want that to be forgiven. I want that to be removed, God. Yeah, give me an understanding. Give me a clarity of who you are. I totally don't understand all this now. But in my soul, I feel a longing. I feel a drawing to you. And I want to begin that journey. Yeah, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Almighty God, I just pray for anyone, that prayed that prayer right now. Even if they're like, man, I think I am in a relationship with God, but I'm not sure, I'll pray it just to be safe. Man, bless them, I pray right now as you remove their sin, man, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, as you fill them with your spirit, that they would be sitting there just going, whoa, you know, as they feel your presence and your love and your care for them, God. You know, I pray you'll give them boldness to talk to someone. Give them the courage to find someone either today or worst case, this week, to ask someone to pray with them and explain what this means to be in a relationship with you. Yeah, I pray for all of us, to have that clarity from you. We don't want to be coming and wondering why there's just a hole in our relationship with you. We're not fully feeling you. So make this clear to us, God. Yeah, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you did pray that, I'd plead with you, come and talk to someone. Talk to someone today would be good, eh? Okay. Hey, so that's kind of the first part, is this whole, it's maturity, not achievement, right? And then this is the second part of the talk. When we move into a relationship with God, there's always a clear call from Jesus to follow him, right? So turn to a few people around you, tap them if you want, and just say, follow him, right? Follow him. All good? Okay, always a call to follow him, right? So let's look at these verses of Matthew. So if you've got your Bible again, bounce over to Matthew. Where are we going? Matthew 16. If you got your device, click away, swipe away, whatever you want to do, away. Don't go away, that would be really sad. I'd cry. And this is pretty full on, but this is Jesus' words, right? So if you're ticked off, don't be ticked off with me, be ticked off with Jesus. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus turned to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. I just love that, your selfish ways. I'm like, man, sign me up, man. I'm shockingly selfish at times. I'm getting better. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. I chucked this verse on the screen, right? Give up your own way. This is a different translation. Take up your cross and follow me, right? It's real, real clear. And then he kind of explains a bit about what this looks like. If you try and hang on to your life, in other words, if you try and control it, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And this next verse is just so powerful. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? What do you benefit if you have all things that technically bring joy to humans, but you lose your soul? You don't have that connection with God. He goes, is anything worth more than your soul? Man, it's a powerful little section, right? This whole call by Jesus to follow him. If I'm not fully following him, then I'm not actually following him, which is a real scary statement to make, right? I can still be in a relationship with God, but I might not be actually really, really, really following. I'm kind of following, but I still have some selfish stuff that I'm holding on to. I'm still in the relationship, I'd say, but I'm never going to experience the fullness of what it means to be in a relationship with God, right? This is kind of a little summary of it, right? Salvation is surrender. Becoming a Christian is surrender. You can't argue with that, right? But surrender to someone who loves me deeply and wants me to have an incredible life. It's not surrendering to some horrible person that's going to persecute and give me gifts that I hate and don't want to do. Like, if God gave me the gift of working with children, I'd be like, why, God? We need to have a chat here because kids are just nutters, man. I've had a couple, but kids are just weird. I'd rather hang out with you legends, right? God doesn't do that. He gives us gifts and callings that excite us and are just awesome and vibrant, right? Surrender to someone who loves me deeply and wants me to have an incredible life. But it's all about following, right? It's all about following. I used to travel a lot for work. And so I was on the road, man, all the time. It was ridiculous. And so usually at least every other week, I would be somewhere in the country. I'd either flown into Christchurch for a couple of days or Dunedin or Wellington or wherever. All the time. And I was just always living in hotels. So I was one of those, and I know some of you guys are the same, where you literally have a suitcase at home that's just always packed. And when you get home, you just take out the dirty clothes, wash them, and then chuck them straight back in because next week you're off again, right? It's ridiculous. I probably have more shampoos and soaps at home that are this big than any of you put together, right? I just stole them all the time. and often when I'd have a full day of meetings, say, and I was in Wellington once and had a full day of meetings, and then often I'd go for a walk in the evening just to clear your head because you've met with random people all day and you just can feel a bit like blah. So often go for a walk or a run and just check out what's happening around. And one time I was staying down there with a good friend of mine, whose name's Chris, and we'd had meetings all day all over the city, and then we just got to the hotel and it was kind of getting late and we were like, man, let's go for a run and then we'll have dinner, right? And so we went for a bit of a run around the city. So if you've been in Wellington, who knows the Mount Vic Tunnel? Mount Victoria Tunnel, you know it? Yeah. So if you've ever been flowing in and come into the city, you go through the tunnel. If you're ever in the city and you're going out to the airport, you go through Mount Vic Tunnel. So it's pretty long. It must be 600-700 meters long, maybe longer, I don't know. And so Chris and I were running, and we were going to run through there. And if you know Wellington, run through there, then come around that like point thing. It's real beautiful at night. So we're running through the tunnel, and we're about, and I'm a little bit faster than Chris. Thank you, Jesus, because my manliness would be destroyed if he was better than me at that. So for that something, no, I'm just being silly. But I was faster, so let's just remember that. So we're running through the tunnel, and we would always take turns at being in front, right? And we're not, like, amazing runners. We're cruising through, and all of a sudden I realized that Chris was running right behind me. Like, I could just hear his footsteps, like, right on my tail. And I was like, what is this clown doing? He's trying to push me, right? So I kind of sped up a little bit. And the faster I went, the faster Chris went. He was just right behind me the whole way. And I was like, what a crazy man. Why is he right there? Ah! And then I was like, because I'm, think I'm pretty amazing. So then I was like, man, I'm putting the hammer down. He will not keep up with this. And I just started speeding up until just about the end of the tunnel. We are just sprinting hard out. And you're on that edge where you're like, I just can't go any faster. I can't even breathe. I'm going to pop. Ah! And just came like, in my mind, just like a lightning bolt shooting out of the tunnel. But I'm always like, if someone was watching, they'd be like, whoa, look at that old guy, you know, with his walker coming out of the tunnel. No, not that bad. So I came flying out, just like a flash of light, out of the tunnel. And I looked around to see Chris to be like, bro, what was that about? And he's like way back in the middle of the tunnel and looking at me like, what are you doing as he runs? And then I realized, this is how awesome I am, that it was my footsteps echoing off the tunnel that I was hearing, right? And so although I was a fast runner, you can't outrun your own footsteps, right? So not the sharpest tool in the shed. So I'm illustrating to say the whole time I thought Chris was following me, but meanwhile Chris is like miles away laughing, like, what's this idiot running like an idiot through the tunnel? There's always a danger in our life that we think we're following Jesus, but we're just not, right? And I think it's good at points in our life to stop and check, you know, am I actually following Jesus? Am I staying in step with Jesus? Is my relationship with him close enough that when he says zig, I'm zigging, you know? When Jesus says zag, I'm like, yeah, we're zagging, Jesus. Woo, because I can hear him. I hear his guidance, right? When Jesus says jump, are you ready for movie references? Hey, when Jesus says jump, we all say, how high? Come on, team. Where were you? You guys need to watch more movies, right? And that's what he's saying in here, right? If someone wants to be my follower, they actually need to follow. And that's what I'm chucking up here, right? Salvation is surrender, but surrender to someone who loves me deeply, right? Someone who cares about me, someone who wants to be in this incredible relationship with me and draw me closer to him, right? It's going to be a life of fullness and vibrancy and, man. Hey, let's read this passage from Peter. 2 Peter, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Sorry, man, I love this passage, right? There's two bits in here that I really love. I'd love to unpack the whole thing, but we just don't have time. But the two bits that I love is that by his divine power, God's given us everything we need for living a godly life, right? And when he talks about godly, he's meaning a life of fullness and vitality and vibrancy. And that's what I'm saying. As we go into this Markers of Maturity series, it's not like, yeah, I've ticked these boxes. It's like, man, as we talk about prayer, man, how can I be drawing prayer into my life so that it brings me closer to Jesus, so I experience his indwelling presence more and it's more vibrant? When we talk about generosity, when we talk about the Bible, how do I take that in so it's, my life is more full, more incredible, more exciting, right? It's not like, yeah, ticking boxes. I love that. The other bit I love about this is right at the end. These are the promises that enable you. This next bit freaks me out, right? To share his divine nature. Man, turn to a few people around you and say, you share the divine nature. Isn't that crazy? Turn to a few people around you and say, you share the divine nature. Crazy. Man, that just blows me away, right? The change that comes over us when we share in the divine nature. I wrote something down that I just wanted to read as we reflect on this verse. I wrote down, as a follower of Jesus, I literally have power and guidance and blessing that someone not in a relationship with Jesus does not have. I'm empowered by Almighty God. I'm indwelt and greatly gifted by the Spirit of Almighty God. If you're a follower of Christ, you look at yourself and might only see yourself. But God looks at you and sees someone capable of accomplishing things that if he told you right now would make you either laugh out loud or cower in fear. You are not just you. You are empowered and called and gifted by Almighty God. I really mean that. If God told you right now that the plans that he has for you, the desires he has for you, because you're not there yet, because you're still growing in spiritual maturity, if he told you some of those things, you'd be like, I could never do that. Are you mad, God? And he's like, yeah, but it's not just you. It's you being empowered and gifted and called by me. And so then it's like, oh, that changes everything, right? Or some of them, if he told us, we'd be like, whoa, 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 that is terrifying me. And it's again because we don't see that it's us being empowered by him. I love that, hey, that the divine nature indwells us, man. Peter carries on, and this is the next verse, verse 5, which is what we've been talking about. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. God's promised to bless us. He's promised to give us everything we need, but we need to step into that, right? We need to step into being a follower of Jesus. And then he explains what that means. And this next bit is a little bit long, but it explains what this following Jesus looks like. And this links really closely with this whole Markers of Maturity series, right? Here's a bit of it, and then there's a bit more coming. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Moral excellence with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. It's a hard one, eh? Self-control, we should just delete that out. That's tough. Self-control with patient endurance. Patient endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love for everyone, right? So, and these are connected to some of these markers we're going to be looking at that show me, am I growing? Again, not achievement, am I growing? And here's the end of that little passage. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. I love that first bit, eh? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we crave, right? None of you are here so that someone looks at you and goes, whoa, you're so spiritual going to church. We're like, what? That's stupid, right? We're here because we want to become more productive in our relationship with Jesus. We want to serve him better. We want to be used more powerfully by him. That's why we're here. But to do that, we have to do this stuff that we read in that other verse. It's cool. All right, let me finish with this little quote. It's a little bit full on, but it's pretty cool. This is by Scott McKnight, and he says, those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow, and those who don't follow aren't followers. To follow Jesus means to follow Jesus into a society where justice rules, where love shapes everything. To follow Jesus means to take up his dream and work for it. I love that, eh? It's that surrendering of myself, right? Followers follow, and those who don't follow aren't followers. It's a pretty blunt challenge to us, I think, at times, eh? I'm going to lead us in prayer, but let's all stand, eh? Etu, stand up. Nick, do you want to come up and play and stuff? Thanks, man. Just while you're standing before I pray, I just want you to pause, and think deeply. God loves you more than you understand, right? He loves you more than you understand in this life or the life to come. And he has dreams and desires and plans for you, like I said, that if he told you, you'd be like, whoa. And for some of us, the reason we don't experience that is because we're not fully following, right? Which is hard. It's not easy. It's hard, man. I just want you to take a minute and just be listening to the Spirit. Be listening to Jesus. What are they saying to you about where you are in your relationship with them? Are you growing in maturity, right? Forget achievement. That's irrelevant at this point, eh? Are you growing in maturity? Are you following closely with Jesus? Like, your steps are so close to him that it's like your steps are an echo of his steps, right? That when Jesus says, hey, we're going to zig over here, you're like, yeah. King. We're going to zag over here, you're like, yeah, king. I know your guidance. I know your voice, right? I want to experience more of you. Is that a truth for you? Because God has so much more for you than you're experiencing now, right? So much more empowerment, so much more guidance, so much more experiencing his presence, so much more love, but that call is always to follow him, to put aside our selfish desires, which is flipping hard, and to walk into all that he has for us as we follow him. Yeah. Kia ora, Eeyore. Thanks always for your love for us. Thanks that you care about us way more than we understand, God. We want to experience all that you are. We want to experience all that you have in store for us, God. But to do that, we have to follow. We have to submit our will to yours. You can see we're here because we love you, right? We're here because we want to experience that. So just guide us, God. Guide us in our times of quietness with you. Speak loudly, speak clearly to us around how we grow, around how we follow better. Give us cool times where we really do hear from you and we just go, what the? Oh my goodness, who am I that God just directed me? He blessed me. He protected me. He clarified something for me, God. Yeah, bless us in Jesus' name.